I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, this is the Friday edition. August 9th here on your station. This is KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis here with me. We don't have Taylor Phelps. He went home until the school year starts, the fall semester starts. So it's just me and Jordan for the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll get Kevin back from back surgery. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to having a lot of guests. Maybe have a few more high school players before the season starts. But let's talk about today. We've got a lot of NFL action to talk about. Preseason games last night and tonight. And sandwiched in between that is going to be some MLB talk, including the Rangers getting Alex Rios for chump change. I mean, literally pennies on the dollar.
Literally.
So, but first, let's talk about the big talk today. Preseason football started officially last night.
Finally came back on. Finally something to watch.
Yeah. So we know the Cowboys won in their debut last week against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
But last night's scores are pretty interesting. First, we got Baltimore Ravens, the Super Bowl champions, demolishing Tampa Bay 44-16. So first, you think this is a sign of things to come in Tampa Bay?
Not at all, because you got to think about Darrell Revis went out there. I mean, when they get Darrell Revis, it's going to be a totally different type defense.
Yeah,
they have Golston from 49ers. He's pretty decent. The quarterback position for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be the main question.
Yeah,
because
that's true.
All the other positions are solid. They have of course, their offensive line is a little weak, but they have a good running back in Doug Martin. They have a pretty solid, you know, receiving core.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the defense has always been pretty good in Tampa Bay. But I just think yesterday, you know, Baltimore came out with some things to prove because they lost 9 people from the Super Bowl starters.
Yeah, six defensive
starters. And so that was a brand new defense. Did nobody know what to expect from Baltimore?
Yeah, for sure.
But it seems like Baltimore is still going to be, they showed last night that they're still the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, you mentioned the 6 defensive starters that we lost, or I did, somebody did.
Yeah.
And how much do you think that's going to hurt, or who do you think they'll miss the most?
Of course, with Ray Lewis being gone, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And then Ellaby was, if he would have stayed, they would have been okay. But since Ellaby and Kruger left, those are two linebackers and / defensive linemen that got sacks.
Yeah,
so you got Ellaby in Miami, and you have Kruger in Cleveland. Then Ed Reed leaves. I mean, those are 3 people that was very key for the Ravens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they got Canty. I saw that. They had some more other pieces that, you know, they had got from the draft. I mean, it's going to hurt them, but if the team they have now, if they could do what they did last night, apparently it won't hurt too much.
Yeah. I mean, I was really surprised that they did that well. Now, Joe Flacco, in his only 2 series, he did throw an interception, no touchdown passes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's preseason.
It's preseason.
Yeah.
You know, guys want to get out there and just play. They've been playing against each other all month. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect – I mean, no, it's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Greg Schiano. He's the new coach, came from Rutgers.
Yep.
Now, Tampa Bay hasn't been in the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl. So do you think he's the guy to get them there?
I honestly think he is.
Okay.
I think that Greg what's his name? Schiano?
Schiano, yeah.
Schiano, like, I mean, look what he did at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Rutgers used to be, like, trash, last place every year. He came. Ray Rice, that's when everybody knew about Ray Rice.
Yeah.
They won 2 bowl games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, ever since then, he got them to a bowl game and at least got them in the top half of the Big East Conference.
Well,
so, I mean,
that's not the biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, but to the Ruggers.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Very, very accomplishment to them. But
yeah.
I think he's a perfect fit for Tampa Bay because he brings that tough, gritty and
New Jersey attitude.
Yeah, they play like real gritty.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing flashy about them. They just hit you, they run. But I think he can get to the playoffs, Super Bowl. I don't know. Playoffs, definitely.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next game last night that I saw. Washington edged out Tennessee.
This was a good game.
Yeah, really close game.
Yeah.
22-21. Now, RG3 didn't play, but Kirk Cousins went 6-for-7 for 52 yards and a touchdown. Now, how long do you think Cousins is going to play, and how good do you think he'll be in his playing time?
First of all, Kirk Cousins could start for any team, because there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk Cousins is a very, very good quarterback. Mm-hmm. I saw on SportsCenter when they was talking about him, they said he does everything right.
Right.
And at first, the Redskins was getting criticized for drafting two rookies in one draft, but I'm telling you,
they're both good.
If RG3 can't play, Washington will not lose a step. The only thing they might lose is a little bit of athleticism, but Kirk Cousins can throw the ball just as good as Robert Griffin. Yeah. He can throw it just as hard, and he is mobile too, and they're both smart. So, yeah. I mean, I think Mike Shanahan is going to be smart with this. Like, of course you want Robert to start. Mm-hmm. But as long as he's not 100%, I mean, you're going to see Kirk playing a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and he is good. Like, I predict after this season he won't be with him.
Okay.
I honestly think some other team will offer him too much money because he's a starter quarterback potential.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Rex Grossman.
yeah, Rex Grossman's still with the Redskins, too.
He played yesterday, and I saw his stats. He had, like, 150-some yards passing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I know he's, like, really want to get out of Washington.
Yeah.
Like,
man. And it's just so weird that he's a Super Bowl playing quarterback.
Yeah, he played in the Super Bowl.
And now he's a third string on the Redskins.
Behind two sophomore quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You lost your job to two rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the ultimate.
That is pretty sad. Well, what's your prediction for RG3 coming back? When do you think he'll be back in the game?
I think he'll be back with the regular season.
Okay.
I think if he don't be back the first game, he'll definitely be back the second game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're treating him like Derrick Rose was treated in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about Robert Griffin is like their franchise player. So, I mean, they're not going to rush to put him on the field, especially if they have Kirk Cousins backing him up.
Mm-hmm.
They can win just as many games with Cousins. And the two running backs, Morris and Helu, I mean, you got two young running backs like that can run the ball like that and help out any quarterback. So, I mean, the Redskins could possibly win 10, 11 games this year.
Wow.
They're capable of winning 10. I see them winning at least 10 if the offense stays up and their defense.
Right.
If the defense continue to play like they played yesterday, then I could see them winning 10 games.
Well, that's one of those predictions that's going to have to go on our board then up there.
It's going to have to.
Ryan Tannehill having an awesome season.
We need to get
a whiteboard like right here in front of me. I know you guys listening can't see it, but I'm pointing at the window. We need to get a whiteboard in here and have all these predictions on it, like me saying, what did I say last week that was ridiculous?
God, it was very, very ridiculous.
It was
somebody winning something division that we
were talking about. It was Oklahoma State winning the national championship.
That would have been
up there on the board.
Bold letters, all the way highlighted. Yeah, you said that, Cooper.
Yeah. Like, so we'll work on getting that board updated and set up.
We have to.
All right, well, let's talk more in that game. Chris Johnson still thinks he's a top three running back. Do you see him getting back to that type of form this season?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he run the ball like he did last night and start doing people like he did last night, he could get back to the old Chris Johnson, because all he need is a line to block. Because once he gets to the second level, it's
he's
over.
Gone.
He's
gone. For sure.
And like that play you saw when it was a basic zone read and he cut it. And they said, well, if you watch football, you know, once Chris Johnson get past the first tier of the line, you better dive and try to shoelace tackle him, because he is the fastest running back, I think, in the NFL. And he may switch direction like in a blink of an eye.
Yeah,
like, you got to think about it. That safety was running full speed, and he was running at an angle. So he had the perfect opportunity to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to change direction that fast and continue to go at the speed he was going, you couldn't catch him. It's unfair.
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah.
He runs like almost a 4.2 something.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Isn't he the one that's racing a cheetah? There's some guy racing a cheetah.
He's racing a cheetah. He wants to race Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
And, of course, the cheetah, he didn't beat the cheetah, but he was running with the cheetah
for a part
of distance.
Mm-hmm.
And people, I don't know if people realize, but to even be kept up with a cheetah.
Yeah, for more than a second.
For more than a second means you're fast, because cheetahs can run up to almost 30 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
So for Chris Johnson for a couple of yards, stay with the Cheetah, that's scary.
Yeah, that's I'd be afraid of him.
Yes.
Maybe we should start calling him Cheetah.
That'd be a new nickname here on Locker Room. We'll call him Cheetah. Yeah.
What's his? He has some nickname.
CJ2K.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's not nearly as good.
No.
All right. Well, what about Jake Locker? We've seen a lot of quarterback flux in Tennessee, especially since
Hasselbeck.
No, way back. The first quarterback.
Vince Young.
No.
Oh yeah.
Guy that died recently.
Oh, I know you're talking about McNair.
Yeah, the guy that took him to the Super Bowl. Yeah,
Steve McNair. That was the best quarterback they probably had in the history.
Yeah. Anyway, they've been up and down a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Do you think Jake Locker is the answer at that position?
Honestly, I don't think Jake Locker fit with Tennessee.
Okay.
I mean, in college at Washington, okay, Jake Locker was the truth. He was very, very good. But I don't think he fits the Tennessee playbook. Like, they need somebody like a McNair, but Locker is not a McNair-like quarterback. Like, he's more of a scrambling, let me create offense rather than stay in a pocket. He's not a pocket quarterback. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee keeps trying to make him a pocket quarterback, and he's not comfortable in there. You could tell.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as he keeps playing in the system he's not comfortable with, of course he's not going to be that well. But, I mean, it seems like this year after that game, I mean, he seemed more comfortable. But still, I mean, you got to put Jake Locker in an offense where he can – is a spread offense. He can run the ball. Like, you got to let him run first before he pass. Like, his running game opens up his passing game. He's like a coach out there on the field, but he has to actually run the ball.
Yeah.
So you have to be a team that runs more than you pass. And him and Chris Johnson just don't fit. Like, Chris Johnson's too fast for him, and the lineman can't even – like, it was the part of the game yesterday he tried to run. He outran the lineman to the block. Like, he beat the lineman to the block. So, with Chris Johnson there, I mean, it's hard to play quarterback because he's too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Before you call read and stuff, he's gone. So, I mean, Chris Johnson keep running. I'm just keep giving it to him. So, Jake Locker's not going to pass that much if Chris Johnson's going to do that.
I think Alex Smith would have been a great fit in Tennessee.
That would have been a perfect fit for him because he has big receivers.
Mm-hmm.
He has a big offensive line, and he needs a fast running back.
Yeah.
You give that three to Alex Smith, he will – and plus, he can run short passing game. Mm-hmm. Locker don't have, like, short passing game accuracy.
Not at all.
So, it's like it's not going to work. If you're trying to run a West Coast, you don't have an accurate quarterback, it's not going to work because he can't get the ball in tight spaces.
Yep.
I could see Locker probably somewhere more like in Philly with Chip Kelly. That's perfect for him because it's like an athletic-type build to it. You got speed, spread him out. Mm. That's what Locker's good at. This short passing game, it's like putting Brandon Whedon in there.
Yeah. Let's not mention his name again. All right, well, how about the Broncos beating the Niners 10-6? Now, there wasn't much happening in this game as neither starting quarterback played more than like two or three series. So, this is like the pinnacle of preseason football. But here's some good news for Peyton Manning fans. His receivers say that his arm strength and velocity are significantly better than last season. How scary is that for other teams?
Other teams should be frightening.
Yeah.
Because Peyton Manning is already smart. And if his velocity and his arm strength is better, that means he can get balls quicker, faster, so that your defensive backs can't swat. That's just with the receivers he got, especially with Welker. That is extremely scary. Denarius Thomas, Welker, Decker. They have a core, and even the tight ends. So the Broncos, it's some people pick to say they can go to the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the receiving core. Do you think it's more likely that Peyton Manning can beat Tom Brady's record of touchdown passes or Brees' record for most passing yards in a season?
I'm going to say Brees' record for the most passing yards, simply because Tom Brady had Randy Moss, and Randy Moss is still Randy Moss. So, I mean, well, he threw like 50 that year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think about it. The Patriots threw the ball at least 60% of the time that year. They didn't really have a running game.
Yeah.
The Broncos have a running game. They have Monte Ball, and they have Willis McGahee. So they have two running backs that they can easily give it to. They can get 5 to 1,000 yards in a season easily. So I don't see him breaking the touchdown record because Monte Ball and them going to get some touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that the Breeze record, oh, it's shattered. With the receiving core he has, oh, it's shattered. It's shattered.
All right. Well, the biggest story this offseason, I think, or at least one of the biggest, was Colin Kaepernick posing nude in ESPN Magazine's Body Issue. Now, do you have an issue with that?
Me personally, hey, that's his life. I bet he got paid for that.
Oh, for sure.
I know he got paid for that. So, I mean, whatever money amount he got, I mean, Colin Kaepernick is it's his time. This is his time. He went to a Super Bowl last year.
15 minutes of fame?
Yeah, this is his little 15 minutes of fame. Only if he can continue to win games. Mm-hmm. I don't have no issue with it. If he's winning games and putting up numbers, if he want to post nude and Playboy, let him do that.
Playgirl, I think, would be the one.
Probably so.
Yeah, because no dude's going to be wanting to open Playboy and then see Colin Kaepernick.
Well,
I guess some dudes.
Dudes would.
Anyway, let's get off that subject. How about LaMichael James, who is a Texas native?
Yes. Texarkana.
Yeah,
yes.
Got some love last night. Got to play in the 49ers game. Do you see him taking any of the starting reps from Frank Gore?
I don't see him taking any from Frank Gore. Okay. But I definitely see him and Kendall Hunter sharing snaps.
Okay.
Because Jim Harbaugh even said that LaMichael is like one of their talents that they really want to use.
Yeah.
And he's going to be used in special teams, kick return. So he's going to get playing time off that.
Yeah, because Ted Ginn's gone now.
Oh, yeah. So, and LaMichael's twice as fast as Ted Ginn.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see him definitely having more of an impact. I don't see him carrying the ball, but they might put him in a slot, have him run some routes, catch some ball, stretch your defense out. So, I mean, they got Anquan Boldin. So,
yeah,
that's going to be a bigger impact than LaMichael James because now they have a short yardage receiver, a physical receiver that can get to third downs, that can get second and long. So I think Anquan is more important than LaMichael at this point because Colin, he needs somebody other than Vernon Davis to throw it to.
Yeah, he needs a short safety blanket.
And Crabtree's out for the season, so Anquan's going to be counted on way more than LaMichael will.
Oh, yeah. Well, one more note on the Denver team, the Denver and San Francisco game. Von Miller, he played in this game as well, but he could be suspended for up to 4 games to start the regular season if he loses his appeal, which happens on August 15th.
Yep.
So you see that hurting the Broncos any?
A lot.
Okay.
Von Miller, they pretty much surround their defense around Von Miller.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, the other linebacker they got, he's not replacing Dumervil. Of course, he went to the Ravens.
Yeah.
So Von Miller is going to be a very, very important factor to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at NFL Live, and one of their beat reporters said that the Broncos, this is like the fastest defense they had in years.
Mm.
But without Von Miller penetrating the gaps and breaking up passes and disturbing quarterbacks, if you can't rush a quarterback, how are you going to be able to stop anybody if you can't at least get him without feeling uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's very true.
For 4 games, I mean, if the Broncos start off slow, it's going to be hard for them to pick it back up because everybody has reloaded the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to Seattle and San Diego. Now, Seattle won this game 31-10. Pretty big game, yeah.
Blowout.
Russell Wilson continues to dazzle, escaping several times on broken plays, and he even made a first down on one pretty impressive broken play, running around like 8 or 9 defenders trying to tackle
ducking
him.
Ducking and dodging.
Yeah. How big do you think his season's going to be?
His season's going to be very, very big.
Okay. This is his sophomore season. Do you see a slump or?
No, okay. I don't see any slump with none of the salt, well, Brandon Whedon.
Yeah.
But I don't see a slump.
I don't know if he can slump.
You're right. I don't see Russell Wilson, like, slowing down at all. You got to think about it. Russell Wilson had a whole year to play, and now he has a whole preseason and offseason as the starter.
Yeah.
So he's only going to get better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know with plays like that, ducking it, he's smart. Like, the last 8 games or 10 games, he threw 24 touchdowns, only 8 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a smart quarterback.
Right.
And if, I mean, he's not going to slump for what? They have too many weapons on that team for him to slump.
Yeah.
So, at the least, if he do average, it's going to be above average because he has Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
And Sidney Rice. And whenever Percy come back, Percy Harvin.
Yeah. 3/4 of the way into the season. Yeah. Well, they've also got some pretty good QB depth there. They've got Tavares Jackson as the second string and then Brady Quinn as third string. Now, Tavares Jackson was a starter in the league for a long time with Minnesota, and then Seattle traded for him to get him. Now, he's the backup, but everybody loves him in the locker room, and he connected for a deep bomb for a touchdown last night. Do you see him being one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league?
I think he is one of the best. It's between him and Kirk Cousins. They are the two best backup quarterbacks by far because they can actually win you games. Tavares Jackson started enough games to know how to win an NFL game.
What about the Cowboys backup quarterback?
Well, Kyle Orton?
Yeah.
Kyle Orton, I mean, he can win you games too, but I'd rather have Tavares Jackson than Kyle Orton because at least Tavares Jackson is athletic enough to move around the pocket. Mm-hmm. Kyle Orton is straight. He needs an offensive line. Or he's not going to be that good because, I mean, he's not mobile.
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins is definitely probably the best backup quarterback. And then second is more than likely have to be Tavares Jackson because, I mean, I don't see – he has probably the most wins out of any backup quarterback in the NFL right now anyway.
Yeah, I think it'd be him or Kyle Orton or maybe Vince Young with the Packers.
Yeah, but I don't think Vince Young is going to get that much playing. I mean, he's playing behind Rodgers.
Yeah, you're not going to get much playing there.
No.
Well, just a little bit more on the Chargers. You think Phillip Rivers is going to bounce back this season?
I don't know. Last year was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And he just lost Denario Alexander. That was his best receiver.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to depend on the rookie from Alan Crabb from California. Mm. And he's a rookie. So, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get from him because rookies have to understand the game as they go.
Yeah, they're 50-50.
Yeah, so especially with receiver rookies, they're not even 50-50. They're like 40-60 because sometimes they don't even run the route right or you just don't have it.
Right.
So, I mean, Phillip Rivers, I don't know. I think the Chargers will still be below average this year.
All right. Well, we got one more team to talk about before we take a break and come back and talk about the Rangers.
Yep.
The Bengals took down the Falcons 34-10 last night. Now, the score doesn't really matter in this game. But we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff. Andy Dalton didn't play that much. He only was in two series. And then the passes that he threw, he only connected 3 out of 7 times. Do you see him having a big season this year? He's got, in his career, in his last two seasons with the Bengals, he has 2 postseason appearances. You think he's big this year?
Andy Dalton is a really good quarterback. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the Bengals this year has really uploaded. One of my personal friends I grew up with, Kobe Hamilton, plays for them now. And he had a pretty good game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he has A.J. Green. He has this tight end, I'm telling you, this Tyler Everett dude, if he's really what people are saying, Andy Dalton's going to have a good season regardless.
Yeah.
Because that's a big target.
Now, where did the old – Steelers back could go to. Where'd Rashad Mendenhall go to?
He went to the Cardinals.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
He's in the NFC. We won't have to see him.
Yeah.
They made the mistake of letting Harrison go to the Bengals because the Bengals is in the division. That's the one thing I wish the Steelers would have never done.
Okay.
Like, I understand they couldn't get the paperwork done.
Yeah.
But don't send him to a team in the division because now he has an extra advantage on you because he's been there 10 years.
Yeah.
He knows every player on that team. He knows every coach. When they play the Bengals, it's going to be almost impossible to beat them now.
Okay.
Unless we just come with something new.
Well, you mentioned James Harrison. Do you think he's got a lot left in the tank or is this one of his final seasons?
I think he's on a quarter.
Okay.
I think he's got a quarter left. I think he can play this season and maybe next season.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to think about it. 12 years for a linebacker, I mean, that's a long, long time. I mean, usually they start to degrade after 9.
Yeah, that's a Ray Lewis career.
Yeah, that really is a Ray. And then with one team, he stayed for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, 10 years playing linebacker, that's a lot on your body.
Well, you also mentioned Tyler Effert. He's a rookie from Notre Dame. You think he could be the next Jermaine Gresham for the team or even better?
It's going to be better than Jermaine Gresham.
Okay.
I mean, he runs like a receiver. He runs routes like a receiver, and he's big.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
Aaron Hernandez.
Like, you seeing these people come out like, oh, my God, he's a tight end?
Yeah, and that's not even fair.
They said he'd be running routes at practice. He don't even practice with the tight ends. He practices with the receivers. So that means he's fast enough to keep up with the receivers.
Yeah. Well, let's a few more things. Steven Jackson had only 5 rushes for just 8 yards. But if you look back at the Falcons last year, they were third in the NFL in teams that got within the 10-yard line the most, and they ran the ball, I think, more than any other team in the NFL.
Well, they had Michael Turner.
But do you see Steven Jackson being a top 10 guy this year?
Oh, yes, with ease. They have good offensive line, and Steven Jackson is not nowhere near washed up. I mean, he just played for the Rams. I mean, he had no offensive line. And even there with the Rams, he still got over 10,000 rushing yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did enough to get 10,000 rushing yards. So, I mean, it's just preseason. Like,
all right. Well, AJ Green didn't play. He has a hurt hamstring, but he should be back in time for the NFL season to start.
Yeah.
And then a good feel story here was Brian Banks, who spent 5 years in prison after rape and kidnapping convictions, which were dismissed last season. Mm-hmm. He played in his first NFL game last night for the Falcons, and he got a few tackles, you know, did some normal preseason third-string guys.
Yeah.
If you want to follow him on Twitter, his handle is at Brian Banks Free, all one word. So go check him out. He seems like a really cool character guy, and we're all glad that he got out of jail for not doing something.
I'm glad he's doing something positive with his life.
Yeah.
Very, because he could have been doing something else.
Yeah, he could have been mad at the world, and instead he said, I'm going to take this opportunity and use it for something good.
And good thing for the Falcons, man.
Yeah.
You know, show them that, you know, there's a thing, a second chance.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we will be back to talk about Alex Rios getting picked up by the Rangers. And get this, Mark Cuban claims that Bud Selig is a mafia member because of the suspension he served to Alex Rodriguez. We'll have more on that when we come back. This is KETR's Locker Room.
If you've been looking to make more room in your garage, maybe KETR can help. We'll take that old car off your hands and give you a tax receipt for your donation. It doesn't have to be running, but you do have to have the title. Call our representative at 855-KETR-123 to schedule a convenient time to pick it up. That's 855-KETR-123. Or go to our website, KETR.org, and mouse over support for more information.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch and Jordan Davis here with you today. Now, we already talked about NFL preseason games last night, and now it's time to talk the MLB, talk the Texas Rangers, of course. Now, we got news just a few hours ago that Alex Rios was acquired by the Texas Rangers for pennies on the dollar towards Rios' salary, and the Rangers give the White Sox either a player to be named later, or cast considerations. Now, the White Sox are sending Alex Rios to the Rangers along with $1 million for his salary. So the Texans are only going to have to pay, not the Texans, the Rangers are only going to have to pay like $5 million on the rest of Alex Rios' contract this year. So you think this is a pretty good pickup for him?
This is a big pickup for Texas.
Okay.
They need some bats. They need somebody that can slug in some RBIs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look at it, their pitching staff, what the Rangers have done these past couple, this past month, I'll say month and a half, has really strengthened their team. Mm-hmm. They strengthened the pitching staff, and now, like, for little or nothing, got a player that they can eventually sign and help them in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Rios is a very good player. He's a young player. He's a very, very nice, solid hitter, and he can play a little bit of defense as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for the White Sox to give him up, I mean, it was big for them to give him up because he was one of their best players.
Yeah.
So you put him with, you know, he can really – I think he can take off the Nelson Cruz drama.
Okay.
Like, with Nelson Cruz gone, you know, they needed another bat offensively.
Yeah.
Alex Rios is not going to hit 20, 30 home runs.
No.
But he's going to hit 15 to 20 home runs. And he's going to get you a good 70 to 90 RBIs off top.
Yeah.
So very good pickup for the Rangers.
Well, let's talk about that anonymous player that the Rangers wanted to send over for him. The White Sox, it looks like they're going to name Lurie Garcia, who has a, get this, 192 batting average with no home runs and just one RBI in his 25 career games in the majors. Now, he's done pretty well in the minors, granted, but, I mean, it feels like you're really just selling your team short here, picking up Lurie Garcia for Alex Rios.
I mean, they probably looking at it like the White Sox pretty bad this year.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the worst in the
One of the worst in the whole league. It's like, okay, we have good players here. It's time for us to just rebuild. I think the White Sox are just, okay, let's just totally rebuild this team.
Yeah.
Wait to the draft, try to get some big free agents to come to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cubs not doing too much better anyway, so it's not like they can compare each other this year. So, I mean, why not start over and get some good players out so they can be happy? Because, you know, players don't want to stay on a team like that. No way.
Yeah.
So, it works out for everybody. You go your separate way, then we rebuild. So, I mean, I saw it coming either way it go.
Yeah. And this is nice for the Rangers, too. And, I mean, this is really why it's nice to not have a salary cap in baseball.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to worry about fitting his contract in. Because, I mean, it's $5 million this year and then $12.6 million next season. Now, he can be bought out for $1 million in 2015 if we don't like him. But if we try to trade him, his contract goes up to another $500,000 on each of the next two seasons, and his buyout goes up to $2 million. Wow. So he's probably not going to be able to trade. Like, he's staying with the Rangers. Yeah, we're not going to get rid of him.
No, why would the Rangers want to get rid of him?
He's sitting like 277 with like 12 home runs, something like that.
That's a solid. It's a solid pickup.
You keep that guy.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think this means for Nelson Cruz down the road? He is a free agent this season. After the end of the season, do you think he stays, or do you think Texas says, no, we're going to stick with this Rios guy instead?
I mean, if Texas wants to be safe, they'll let Cruz go and stick with Rios. Because if Rios can hit close to 300 and hit over 10 home runs, he's going to be productive. He's going to help them. And he can actually help them get more runs than Cruz could, because Cruz just hit home runs. I mean, if you look at it, that's all he does. But Rios is at least a more balanced player. He can play defense. He can steal bases. When the last time you seen Nelson Cruz stole a base?
Long, long time ago.
Long. So, I mean, the way baseball is shaping up, you want a solid bat before you just get a home run hitter. You can a home run hitter can come out anywhere.
Yeah. Well, one last question on this part. Do you think that the Rangers are going to keep Matt Garza as well with this addition?
Okay. Oh, yes. I mean, they would be dumb not to keep Matt Garza.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just get Matt Garza this year just to see how far you can get in the playoffs and then give him up, you're going to be in the same hole you was in.
With Cliff Lee.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why even put that much more stress on the Rangers? Just keep him, keep Rios, and then, you know, if you want a bat, like just a home run bat, shop. I mean, you have minor league players that's pretty good in prospect rankings so far. I mean, the Rangers and the Astros have, like, the best minor league players anyway. So, I mean, why not use some of them players to get you that big bat? Because, I mean, Nelson Cruz with the suspension and all, I mean, it's too much attention.
Yeah, it's too much to go through again.
Yeah, it's too much, and they don't need that. They already went through that with Josh Hamilton.
Well, let's move on to the other topic that we mentioned before we went to break. Mark Cuban claims that Bud Selig is a mafia member. He said this on Jay Leno, I think it was last night, maybe a few nights ago, because of the suspension he served to A-Rod. Now, we're going to play you the audio clip, and then we're going to tell you our reactions. So, listen to this.
This A-Rod suspension, fair, unfair, what do you think?
Horrible. I mean,
horrible?
No, I think it's disgraceful what Major League Baseball is trying to do to him. Look, it's not that he doesn't deserve to be suspended. He does. But they have policies in place, you know, first-time offenders, 50 games, second-time, 100. 214 games, that's personal. And I got to tell you, you know, my experiences with Major League Baseball, and after all this, there's no chance I'm going to be able to buy a team. It's basically become Bud Selig's mafia. He runs it the way he wants to run it. I mean, they don't want me to own the team. When I was trying to buy the Rangers, even after the Cubs didn't even come. When I was trying to buy the Texas Rangers, it was an open auction. And I sat in there with my good hard-earned money trying to bid, and they did everything possible to keep me from buying a team. Really? They had lawyers in there trying to change the rules. They had people trying to, you know, put up more money. I mean, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And so for him to come out and just attack A-Rod the way he did.
Now, that was Mark Cuban on Jay Leno, and he was talking about A-Rod, as we heard. So first, I got quite a few questions for you on this, Jordan. First, do you agree with Mark Cuban?
I don't agree with him saying he's a mafia.
Okay.
I mean, I agree with him when he said it's personal.
Yeah.
Because I would say that baseball definitely took a different approach with A-Rod than the other players.
Mm-hmm.
But to say it's a gangster, a mafia, I mean, he just, it sounds to me he's just a little salty that he couldn't get the Rangers when he tried to buy them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't agree with Bud, but okay. I wouldn't call him a mafia member either. I mean, he mm-hmm. does his job. He has to punish it because he has a lot of pressure on him.
That's true. Well, let's talk about what he said about the 211-game suspension. Do you think he's right that the MLB overreacted and even overstepped their own rule book when they gave him that suspension?
Well, I mean, the rule is 50, 100, or life.
Yeah.
He broke that.
He's technically 50 games because this is his first
offense. Caught so offense, he should be 50, but for the fact, since it's A-Rod and he's been lying about it and baseball know he's been lying about it, they took it to another level. If you was going to suspend him 211, you might as well say a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, after 100, you know, if they would have gave him 100, they would have been like, it was too soft.
Yeah.
And then Ron Brohm took 65, so Bud already broke the contract by giving him 15 more games to his 50. So, I mean, right now, I really think the problem in baseball is, okay, we have the people that did it, but the rules say 50, 100. If we put 50 or 100, people are going to say they let them off too soft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they're trying to prove a point, but at the same time, 211, if you're going to suspend somebody that long, you might as well say Pete Rosen. You might as well just Pete Rosen and just call it, you suspended forever.
Yeah, because if he doesn't win this appeal that he's going through right now and he does get the full 200-whatever games, because I've heard some people say it could go up to 214.
Yeah.
If he gets that, he'll come back minimum age 40.
And that's not a good look.
The Yankees do not want a 40-year-old.
They're not going to give a 40-year-old $90-something million.
No.
They're not.
He's washed up anywhere. I think this is the end of his career.
He was striking out in minor league games.
Yeah.
That lets me know he's washed up. He's on the same level as Manny to me.
Now, he's not as terrible as the rest of the third baseman that the Yankees have been trotting out there this season.
Yeah.
But he's still
40. Like 40 years old at any age, at any profession, if you're 40, it's like he's 40. He can't move like he did when he was like 25.
Yeah. Now, we're talking professional sports here. We're not saying 40-year-olds in business can't do stuff.
Now, if this was a business move, I mean, a corporation or something, 40, you want somebody 40.
Yeah.
Have experience.
Yeah.
Like, you're 25 or you're too young. You ain't even went through nothing yet.
Yeah, but this is sports where 40 is 40 godfather age.
Old grandfather time.
That's a Brett Favre age, where we're talking about.
Please, let's not bring him up.
All right. Well, since I mentioned Brett Favre, let's finish off the show with some more NFL talk. I know we're really hitting you up the NFL talk today, but it's football season. What are you going to do? Now, we got a lot of offseason games tonight. We've got 8 on the schedule. Now, only a few of them are going to be able to be seen here in Texas, but you can, if you got Sunday ticket or anything like that, you can find them somewhere.
Yeah.
First, the game that you will most likely be able to see, the Cowboys play the Oakland Raiders in Oakland tonight at 9. So who do you got in this game first?
I got Cowboys.
Okay.
Cowboys going to win.
I do too.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to even be close either.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders, it seems like they always have talent. They just don't know how to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And Darren McFadden, he hasn't been the Darren McFadden that people thought he was at Arkansas.
Yeah. You think he can ever be relevant in the NFL?
If he can stay healthy. I mean, at first it was about his offensive line. Okay.
Right.
That's understandable. The Raiders do not have that good of an offensive line. And then it was quarterback issues. Well, they had Carson Palmer. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer is still a decent quarterback. He's still a starting level quarterback. So I don't know why my throat just so dry today.
It's all right.
But I don't think McFadden is going to be like Arkansas McFadden simply because it's just too many people on defense that's faster than him, stronger than him. So, I mean, if he can get it together, he can be an average running back. But, I mean, I wouldn't put him on my fantasy team or nothing like that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we see here that Oakland Stadium is among the worst in the NFL.
It's the worst.
Yeah, because it's now the only stadium, now that Miami has a new baseball stadium, it's the only stadium to feature a baseball infield on the field. Players are actually having to switch shoes and change to different forms of cleats in order to play on this the right way and not get hurt. The Cowboys head coach, Jason Garrett, actually told all of his players to show up early tonight on the field and make sure that they've got the right cleats on so they don't tear something or pull something or twist something. So do you
think it's tragic?
Yeah. Do you think this stadium is it? You think this is the last year they're there?
It has to be because, for one, that's hurting every team that comes there. Yeah. Because if they wear regular cleats like they wear in Wells, it's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for Oakland Raiders, I don't understand why they have such a trashy stadium. It's such a rich historical team. Like, you would think they would be like Pittsburgh and have a historical stadium for them. But I just don't understand. I mean, the Oakland A's are doing good right now, so give them
their
own.
And they can't get another stadium either,
Like, somebody going to have to get their own stadium. Like, sharing it of football and baseball.
It didn't work.
It's not going to work. It's either going to be the Raiders Stadium or the Athletic Stadium. Mm-hmm. And right now, it needs to be the Athletic Stadium because they don't want to win in the most games.
Although they don't really want it either because they have literally roped off and covered up the entire upper deck of
that
stadium.
It's the whole stadium altogether. I think they just need to give it to Oakland, the Raiders. Mm-hmm. They just need to give it to them, let them, like,
do whatever they want.
Because that's their little pit thingy, and the Athletics need another stadium.
Yeah. Well, we're still talking about the Raiders here. They have four quarterbacks that are all going to get reps tonight, including Matt Flynn, who's the projected starter, Terrell Pryor, who, you know, everyone knows all his drama, Matt McGloin, who's not really talked about, and from Arkansas, Tyler Wilson, the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
So who do you think is taking that starting job?
It has to be Matt Flynn.
Okay.
Hopefully, it's Matt Flynn. You know, Matt Flynn, I'm not really too strong on him. He had one game in Green Bay.
That he threw for like 500 yards.
Yeah, and that one game got him a contract.
Yeah.
Then he went to Seattle and got beat by a rookie.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand Russell Wilson was good.
Oh, yeah.
He's good, but still, if you're in the NFL for at least three seasons and you have a rookie come take your job, apparently you're not that good. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the Seahawks gave him a nice contract, but apparently he wasn't that good. He never played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for Oakland, I don't see him really just doing anything spectacular. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Tyler Wilson, honestly, be their quarterback. Because Terrell Pryor is just not there yet.
No.
He's never been there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Tyler Wilson is probably the smartest quarterback they have right now.
Yeah.
And he's a rookie.
Well, what are you looking for specifically in this game? Do you have any, like, Cowboys that you want to mention or Raiders to look out for?
Specifically for the Cowboys, I'm looking at Philip Tanner.
Okay.
I want to see, like, the first game, preseason game, he came out really, really running hard. I want to see if he keeps it up and actually gives a real competition at the running back position.
Right.
Because I know DeMarco Murray is going to be the starter, but I honestly want to see if he can make it a little bit of a challenge. Because if he keeps running like this, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to start him because he is actually healthy. And he's healthier than DeMarco Murray right now. And he's carrying load. I mean, him and, I mean, the offensive line for the Cowboys.
Frederick?
Yeah, I just really want to see if he's worth all the talk that people are saying.
Yeah.
That, okay, this is a good pick. And that tight end they got,
Escobar. Gavin Escobar.
I really want to see them throw him the ball more. They say he has hands, like, bigger than Witten's. And that's pretty big.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the cross-state rivals, Houston Texans. They play Minnesota tonight at the Metrodome at 7 o'clock. Now, this is the final season the Vikings will play in the Metrodome, which was opened in April of 1982. There's a lot of talk about their new stadium, which will open in 2016. And in between now and then, the Vikings will be playing at University of Michigan Field. Now, you have any special memories of the Metrodome, like the roof collapsing or anything like that?
Oh, apparently the roof collapsing. But I always remember the Metrodome because of Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching almost every Sunday. I used to see the Vikings playing at home on Fox.
Yeah.
Like, every Sunday, it seemed like they just had all the home games. And I always used to see Randy Moss just going straight down the field, jumping over somebody. I remember they had Dante Culpepper, and he did a little dance every time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Vikings, I'm just so used to seeing them in that field, on that turf. Like, I'm just used to seeing them on there. It's going to be weird seeing them in Michigan Stadium. Is going to seem weird, period.
Minnesota Stadium.
Oh, University Minnesota. Oh, okay. Well, it's going to still seem weird for them to be playing on a college team's campus. I mean, I just used to see them in the Metrodome.
Mm-hmm. Their new stadium is going to be really, really nice, though.
I imagine so.
One of the first completely green stadiums that they've made in the NFL, something like that.
Wow.
You know, something weird. Anyway, Texans now have Ed Reed in the secondary, and they have Brian Cushing back from injury paired up with J.J. Watt. Now, if these guys all stay healthy, we saw that Ed Reed was coming off a meniscus tear or something like that.
Yeah.
You think they're one of the scariest defenses in the league?
I see them being the scariest.
Okay.
They took Baltimore's spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up there with San Francisco, and they're definitely up there with Denver and Seattle. Mm-hmm. I still think Seattle has the scariest defense simply because they have a secondary that will hit you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody in their secondary will make you fumble.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, you don't want to make any one of them mad, because if you make one mad, all of them are mad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Seahawks have the scariest defense.
Okay.
But the Texans with J.J. Watt, then you have Cushing, which people forget. Cushing is very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
He is very good. Like, if it wasn't for him tearing whatever he tore.
The ACL.
Texas might have took Baltimore's spot in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I could see
and
that.
And then with Ed Reed in the back, that's like a veteran that just won a Super Bowl last season.
Mm-hmm.
So he can tell them. And plus, the Texans got that DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
That receiver. They're going to be a scary team with Arian Foster and Andre Johnson and Owen Daniels.
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, just one more question on this one. Adrian Peterson is going for the single-season rushing record in the NFL. Do you think he'll make it this season?
He tore his ACL. Was it ACL he tore?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
He tore it and came back and almost broke the single-season game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, single-season record.
Yeah.
I think he can catch Emmitt.
Okay.
I mean, the way he's running, and they keep handing the ball 30, 40 times a game anyway,
yeah,
he's going to catch him eventually.
Yeah,
with ease.
Think so.
I really think with ease. Like in the next 5-6 years, if he can last that long, I see him breaking Emmitt's record.
Right. Well, probably a game that most of us don't really care about. The Jets head to Detroit tonight at 6:30. You think it's time that Detroit's going to break out and have a good season, maybe even win a playoff game?
I think it's time for them to. I mean, they have the talent to.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson, Sue, and Stafford. But, I mean, I don't know this year. It's with the Falcons upgrading and Green Bay upgrading, The Bears even upgrading. I don't see the Lions winning. I don't see them going to the playoffs this year. I just don't.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Schwartz is your head coach. You're not going to do much.
He almost got beat up by Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
That was maybe the funniest moment in NFL history.
Yeah. Well, another person to malign and make fun of,
yes.
Mark Sanchez is still the starter for the Jets. Do you think that continues through the season?
No.
Okay.
I think they're going to start him simply because, like, he's the best one they got.
Mm.
But eventually, if he starts to show signs of last season, they're going to put Geno in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they want Geno to play anyway, to be honest.
And I think Geno deserves a chance.
I mean, they say in practice he's doing better than Sanchez anyway.
Yeah. Well, the head coach of Mark Sanchez, who's been with him through thick and thin, Rex Ryan, you think he's going to be a head coach in the NFL much longer?
I think he still is. I mean,
okay,
even though he puts his team in the media a lot,
mm-hmm,
and he doesn't do what some coaches would like him to do.
Right.
I mean, he's still a good coach. I mean, his players still play for him. And I mean, if all this fails, you can have him as a defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator. He's good at calling both sides of the ball. I mean,
yeah,
his personality is a little out there.
Yeah, you know, all the Ryans are.
Yeah, all of them are there. Yeah. Like, let's not get on them. But when it all comes down to it, they're still good coaches.
Yeah. Well, let's talk some other games. We got the Patriots taking on the Eagles in Philadelphia tonight. Now, we get to see Chip Kelly in the NFL for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then Riley Cooper is supposed to be playing in this game. Do you expect that to be something blown out of proportion or what?
He's probably going to get booed.
Okay.
The fans probably boo him. He might get a little extra, you know, nudge out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think more people are excited to see Tom Brady and the Patriots back on the field. More people are going to be asking about Tebow than Riley Cooper anyway.
Yeah, I think so, too. Well, speaking about Tim Tebow, do you think he's going to stay as the backup quarterback or become maybe a tight end or a receiver or running back?
Honestly, I see Ryan Mallett still being a second-string quarterback. I mean, he just has too many tools. He's 6'7".
Yeah.
I mean, he's the same size as Brady with arm like Brady.
Yeah.
I think Tebow won't be a tight end either. I think he'll be a fullback before he'll be a tight end.
Okay.
Or running back. They'll put him somewhere right there where he can make a more of an impact than blocking.
Yeah.
I just can't see Tebow as a tight end.
Okay. Well, you ever see, this is the last question, you ever see Bill Belichick in anything other than a hoodie with the sleeves cut off? You see that happening?
I don't see. Bill look like he's very boring.
Yeah.
He seems like he's one of those guys, he don't care what he wears. He go to Walmart, buy shirts and pants, and he just put some shoes on and walk outside. It don't look like he looked like he's very nonchalant.
Yeah. I honestly, if I didn't know he was a head coach and recognize his face, I would think he was just some random
Dilbert.
Yeah.
He works in an office.
Yeah.
He just works in an office and he hates his life.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
And he sounds like he hates his life every once in a while.
He coached the Patriots.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah. Well, what about Dolphins going to Jacksonville? Now, I don't think anybody in Texas except for you cares about this one.
I'm the only person that cares about it.
Yeah.
Because Tannehill's going to bounce back tonight.
He is? It's a guarantee. Put it on the board.
He's playing Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like,
that's true.
It's Jacksonville. The Cowboys, okay. I give them that. Cowboys, they had a point to prove.
Yeah.
Jacksonville has nothing to prove. Nobody expects them to win
anything.
Four games.
Yeah.
He's going to bounce back. You're going to see a way better Tannehill.
All right. Well, you mentioned Jaguars being terrible. You think it's time for them to move somewhere else, maybe get a new owner?
I hope so. They need a new start. They need a new breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
They haven't been anything since.
Ever?
They haven't ever. Mark Brunell.
Yeah.
That's the last time they made the playoffs, and that was like 97.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
That's a very long time ago.
All right, well, let's move on to the Cardinals heading to the frozen tundra. They're going to face the Packers tonight. You think Aaron Rodgers is really the best quarterback this year?
No.
I don't either.
Jaws is just in love with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I don't think why would you put anybody over a quarterback that won 3 Super Bowls? I don't know. Yeah. I still think Tom Brady is the best overall QB in the game. Mm-hmm. He just lost a lot of weapons. Aaron Rodgers is good, but to put him above Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's there yet.
And Rodgers has been sacked last year like the third most of any quarterback.
Tom Brady barely gets touched.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cardinals now have Carson Palmer as their quarterback. You think he helps Larry Fitz be a top 5 receiver this year?
Oh, yes, because he's going to throw him the ball a lot.
Okay.
Like, I mean, you think about it. The last quarterback, Kevin Cobb, he was dumb.
Yeah.
John Skelton
was bad.
He was horrible. And now he's with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Carson Palmer, he knows. He had Chad Ochocinco out of all the people. And he helped
and
him.
Hushmanzada.
And Hushmanzada. He had them two out of all the receivers.
Yeah.
Chad Johnson was like up there because of Carson Palmer. Like, he just threw it to him. And Larry Fitzgerald, why wouldn't you throw it to Larry Fitzgerald? It's Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, we also got a new head coach for the Cardinals in Bruce Arians. Now, obviously, he had a great season last year, taking over partway through the season for the Colts. You think he's going to do the same for the Cardinals, make them a really good team?
I think he's going to make them a very, very good team.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think about it. He took over the Colts when they had that thing going on with their coach.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he took over a very emotional team and got them to win, I think, 9 games while he was coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you think about that. For half a season he coached, he won 9 out of 16 games.
Yeah.
That's 9-7. So if you can do that for the Cardinals,
that's huge.
It's instantly better because, I mean, the Cardinals are not used to winning except that one year they went to the Super Bowl and they surprised a lot of people, everybody, except for them.
Yeah.
I think they would surprise themselves low-key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kurt Warner, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
who would have seen that coming?
I'm so glad we won. But still, the fact that they made it surprised me.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can see if they go 9-7, that'd be a really good year for them.
Yeah. Well, just two more teams to talk about. Well, two more games to talk about. We got the Chiefs going to NOLA. Now, Breeze, you think he's going to keep extending that record, or you think he's done?
Yes, Sean Payton's back. Sean Payton's back, and they already said they have a new scheme.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear New Orleans new scheme, you instantly be like, "Oh my, what, what?" Because all they do is pass anyway. Yeah. They have like 18 receivers on the field.
Yeah.
And they just throw it around, and like defenses are looking confused and lost. So, I mean, I really think that if Drew Brees really tried, he could pass for 6,000 yards in a season.
Wow. Okay.
If he really, really tried.
Well, who do you think is going to be the starting running back for NOLA? It's been all up in the air. Chris Ivory. Who else is there?
Mark Ingram.
Yeah.
I think Ingram can take the starting spot simply because you can give him the ball. He can be like your workhorse.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Ivory, he's good, but I mean, he's not like a workhorse like Ingram. Ingram is solid. He can give you the 30, 35 carries a game. I mean, all Alabama running backs are workhorses. So, of course, I'm going to go with Alabama running back.
Right. Well, what about the Chiefs? They now got Alex Smith as their supposedly decent quarterback.
We'll have to see about that.
Yeah. Do you think he'll be as good as he was the past two seasons?
I do not honestly know.
Okay.
I don't know what Andy Reid is doing in Kansas City. Nobody knows. Don't nobody even talk about the Chiefs like that.
Yeah.
For them to be supposedly good, I do not hear about them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I honestly, they have talent. Mm-hmm. And I saw the roster on paper. They look like they can win 9 to 10 games.
Yeah.
But it's the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, don't nobody pay attention to Kansas City.
Yep.
We're going to have to wait till the season starts. I don't think Alex Smith is the answer.
No.
I mean, he's a little bit better than Matt Castle.
Yeah.
He's a little bit better than Castle, but I don't see him just 10-win season.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I agree. Well, you mentioned Andy Reid. Do you think he's the right head coach for KC,
even if
it's not the best quarterback?
Oh, yes. Andy Reid is going to get people to play because people respect Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime Andy Reid comes in the locker room, everybody is, like, respectful because he's coached the Eagles 14 years.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. He's been to the Super Bowls. He's been to the playoffs. He got a bunch of young players. He's really good with young players.
Mm.
He'll last longer than Alex Smith.
Okay.
Put that on the board.
Put that on the board.
He will last longer than Alex Smith.
All right. It's up there. Well, one more team to talk about, and this is probably a matchup that nobody really cares about.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears are going to Carolina tonight to play the Carolina Panthers. Now, Cam Newton, get this, has almost got his college degree. You think that helps him break out of a sophomore slump and get the Panthers maybe a winning season?
He still has to mature.
Okay.
I mean, Cam has always been a good quarterback, and I mean, he's 13-19 for, you know,
two seasons, yeah,
which is not that bad. I mean, he's competitive, but he just has to increase his decision making.
Yeah.
A lot of Cam's problems has been doing the wrong, like throwing it in double coverage, trying to do too much, not sliding, trying to be that superhero he was in college.
Yeah.
But once he understands how defenses work in the NFL and how to make audibles and stuff, that's when we really going to be like, okay, Cam is that Cam everybody says.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just one more question. The Bears now have a new head coach, a new defensive coordinator, and no Brian Urlacher. Where do you think this team is going to go?
I had an old saying that I heard that when everything goes downhill, the only way to go is up.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost a Lovie Smith was a good coach.
Yeah, he was.
He was a very good coach. He won 10 games for him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that defensive coordinator, they created a lot of turnovers last year. So
yeah.
I don't see how a new it's still Chicago. Chicago will always have good defense.
That's true.
But no Urlacher. That's what's really going to hurt the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts them even on offense because he was an overall leader.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
They're going to have to find like a hole because Jay Cutler is not their leader.
Yeah.
He's not.
You see him not throwing a lot of interceptions this year, staying upright, having a good season or a bad season?
I think he'll throw about 12 to 14 picks.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but it's still Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler is a gunslinger. He's like a Brett Favre.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. For every three touchdowns he throws, he's throwing two interceptions
because
he's just a gunslinger. He'll try to fit stuff in where it can't fit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, don't they still have Brandon Marshall?
They do.
They have Brandon Marshall. And they have Alshon Jeffries. If he can start catching like he was in South Carolina, they'll be good. But until then, I don't think.
All right.
I think they depend more on Matt Forte.
Well, we got a lot more to talk about starting on Tuesday. We're going to give you some more fantasy updates, maybe talk the results of all the preseason games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And, of course, Rangers talk. We'll maybe talk a little bit of the NBA. And we've got a lot of high school and college football coming up. So make sure you stay tuned. This has been KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
And I'm Jordan Davis.
And we will see you on Tuesday.